Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
So I was in the shower, I was cleaning my ass and making all shirts all sparkly, spanky clean.
I'm not the funny one, I'm the pretty one.
Cock shots. I just checked myself out.
Candles, music, wine, and then lube up and get on top.
The glory hole's like a dick theater. I've imagined your family.
Which means your pants had better come off. Mama needs playtime. I think that's fine.
We're not sluts.
We just love love.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mrs. Atom, and Mr. Atom is currently cracking up and cannot control himself.
I'm having a moment. Let me have my moment. All right. Yes. Right. Hi. Hey, y'all. Welcome to another episode of By the By. Mm-hmm. We are currently sitting at the dining room table covered in charcuterie.
Meats and cheeses and pickles and
mustards
olives and... Yeah. Crackers and all kinds of good stuff. So if you hear us munching, well,
yeah, suck it up, buttercup.
Not sorry.
You're invited next time. We promise. You're invited. Anyway. So what are we talking about tonight? Oh, I know what we're talking about tonight.
Are you sure you do?
I don't know. I'll make it up as I go along.
Okay.
So we have been recently asked to speak at ACON, which, if you don't know what ACON is the largest LGBTQI, very sex-positive organization. It's a volunteer organization here in Sydney. Originally, they focused on HIV prevention and helping folks with HIV. Now, they still do that, of course, but now they focus a lot on just... community health. Mm-hmm. So people in the LGBTQI community. And we have been lucky enough to been asked to speak in honor of bisexuality awareness. So International Bisexuality Day, or Bisexual Day, is September 23rd.
Celebrate Bisexuality Day, something like that, I think.
Celebrate Bisexuality.
It's September 23rd, look it up.
It's a day for us.
Yeah.
Is September 23rd. So they've asked us to come in and speak with them at a luncheon.
In preparation for that.
Preparation for that, to get their folks excited about...
Diversity Days.
Diversity Days and bisexuality awareness and kind of badass. So one of the things we wanted to sort of talk about tonight is just sort of bisexuality in daily life and how it affects us and how we see that it affects us and how, I guess, it affects our friends and family and colleagues around us, if it does at all. So I think tonight's going to be more of a, I know tonight is going to be less of a scripted night because we, that's it. That's all we've got to talk about. Normally we'll have notes and questions and whatnot. But tonight I think it's just going to be a sort of casual conversation between the two of us. Let's hope it goes for an hour.
Wait, I have to talk to you for an hour?
I know.
What?
It's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt me more than it hurts you, trust me.
All right. It probably will.
So I'm just going to ask sort of the first thing that pops into my mind.
Okay.
When you get on the bus in the morning going to work, do you think about your sexuality and who you are and how you define yourself?
I don't when I get on the bus, but... I will say that, you know, there is a bit of looking around and seeing who's around you, because I'm not one of those people that gets on and just puts my head down. I like to look around and see who's around, what they're doing, you know, what's going on the bus. And it's always interesting to see not only what people are doing, but the scope of people that are there. And it is one of those, as in any public situation, when you're looking around at strangers, there's always that etiquette of how long you can stare at someone. And I am conscious of, am I staring at the males more than the females, or females versus the males? And especially when there's people that may be riding backwards, facing the other way, or standing, and they're watching you as well. Because, you know, I like to watch people, especially people who are watching other people, and try and figure out what they're looking at or what they're thinking. I know.
Well, I'm going to add to this. I've seen you watch people, and you don't watch people slyly. You don't do that.
It
like,
depends on how much they get my attention.
You don't do that like sly stare, like, oh, I'm checking you out. You're like laser beam, like focused on somebody, and you've got gigantic eyes anyway. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, that's the eyes are typically the first thing that people look at when they look at a face. So it is not questionable as to what you're looking at typically when people look at you.
Right. So yeah, I try to. I'm going to say split my time and not stare at either one person or people or whatever more than another. But I would say otherwise, no, it doesn't. I don't really think about it. But I do just try to be conscious of, you know, not staring at one group more than the other is all. I don't know why it matters, honestly.
No, it doesn't matter.
Because I think about it and I'm like, it shouldn't matter. And I don't know.
So then, but that's actually a good point. So, do you try to focus, like, do you notice more if you're staring at women or men? Is that something that, you know, sort of pops up for you?
For me, it changes, honestly. And it's, some days I would say it's much more women. Overall, I would say it's more women. But there are some days where depending on what guys are there, they may catch my attention more so. But it really does vary. And I don't know if that's a mood thing, a what's going on thing, who we've been playing with or not. I don't know what changes that, but it does, you know, it is a little bit more fluid, that it's not always the same.
Yeah. But do you catch yourself and you're like, oh, I need to not look at this person more because of, not necessarily who do you look at more, but like if you find yourself staring at a woman more, mm-hmm. do you feel more self-conscious? Oh, I've been staring at this lady for the last 3 bus stops. I didn't say, almost said 20 minutes, but like the last
wow,
three
those
bus
stops are far apart.
The last 3 bus stops. Or do you feel that way more if you're looking at a man? Do you feel like you're more allowed to look at one or the other?
I do feel like I'm more allowed to look at men. And the other day coming home, there was a lady that I thought was absolutely stunning sitting in the sideways seats, like the handicap seats.
Yeah.
She was sitting there and I was a few back. So she was in my line of sight and she wasn't looking at me because she's sideways.
Right.
And so I could stare at her a bit more, look at her a bit more. But at the same time, I was like, but if anybody else is watching me, then they're going to see me looking at her. And so it was just kind of like, I can't do that. But with guys, I feel like it's a bit easier to, I know there's a fly. He's driving me crazy.
Do we need to pause the podcast to take care of the fly?
If you can get the fly outside or kill him, then maybe.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will come right back to sexy talk in just a moment.
All right, Mr. Adam went hunting the fly and he flew away. He knew he was being hunted.
Fucker got away.
Anyway,
interrupted by a goddamn six-legged fucker.
But what I was saying is that I feel like, and it's, I'm sure it's just me, but when I look at women and they catch my attention, it is very much often I really want to look at and this is going to sound creepy, but analyze them a bit more and like think about what it is that I'm attracted to in them.
All right.
Specifically.
Fair enough.
Whereas with a guy, it's like, oh, he's cute or whatever, but I feel like I can do more of that passing glance, even repeatedly, but at least it's not as overt as when I'm interested in a woman. And so I have to kind of have to keep an eye on myself when I'm looking at people and just, you know, make sure that it's not, I don't do the creepy stare thing.
No, fair enough. Okay, I can get that.
What about you?
I'm a mess.
Well, we knew that.
Yeah, I know. But so for me, I very much, when I get on the bus, let's go back to context. What was the full question, my original question for you?
I don't know. Does it affect me when I get on the bus? Something
so
like that?
It does affect me. You know, and for me, it's because my sexuality is something that I'm almost always both either thinking about or paranoid about or concerned about, or it's on my mind.
Okay.
And so when I'm on a bus, let's say if I'm checking somebody out, I find myself and this may seem odd because I'm not exactly sure how to even verbalize this. Like with ladies, of course, I'll check them out and I'll check out the lady in what I'm going to call, and forgive me for saying it this way, the typical man kind of way. You know, you look at the lady and you know, like, oh, you're very pretty. And you check out the body and the style, for me at least. Mm-hmm. I'm always looking at ladies' shoes because that's, you know, the shoes make the lady. And I'm a sucker for handbags. So, you know, I'm kind of curious as to what kind of bag they're wearing. And so I look at the whole kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But with women, I'm definitely a details person. Like, I'm looking at shoes, I'm looking at handbags, I'm looking at earrings, jewelry, because that's what I really like. But with men, I tend to do it in a much more, like, longing sort of way. Like, it's a, like, if an attractive guy comes on the bus, mm-hmm. I sort of, it's one of those, you know, that scene in Jaws, where Brody sees the shark about to attack the little boy. And so the camera does what happens physically with the camera is it's pulled back on a dolly, but it zooms in on the person's face. Uh-huh. So it creates this effectiveness where you've got the person with the background behind them that's easy to see. But as the camera pulls back and the dolly pulls back and the camera zooms in, it focuses only on the person's face and everything behind them becomes blurry and, okay. and tight. I feel like that's what happens with me and guys. It's like I look at a guy and I'm like, holy cow, you're an attractive, beautiful male specimen. Mm-hmm. And I have trouble, like I'm sure if people look at me, they're like, what is wrong with this boy? But I always try to do it in a very sneaky, not sneaky, because that sounds dirty, but, you know, very non-obvious sort of way.
Right.
Because, you know, it's like, it's still that stigma of, oh, you can't check out guys. You know, and I do that more in our area, but if we're on Oxford Street, which is if you're not from Sydney, it's a notoriously, it's a very homosexual community, big budding homosexual community. I'm much more sort of blatant about the way I check people out there than I am when I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Fellas, that is.
So how often would you say that you get on the bus, train, whatever, and you check people out?
Nearly every time.
Okay.
Nearly every time. And, you know, we've talked about this before. I think there was something attractive about just about everybody. I mean, it's not about body type. It's not about, you know, sometimes it's especially with guys. I think I am much more free with my attraction to men than I am with my attraction to women. Because mm-hmm. women, I have there's a specific type that I like with women. With men, it's a lot freer. Like, I can remember times that I've gotten on the bus in Newtown. And again, if you don't know Newtown, think Soho in New York City. It's a very artsy sort of area. And I'm like, oh, my God, that guy, I love his bag. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got his really great messenger bag. It's really attractive. That, you know, and the messenger bag can make the man.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, holy shit, look at that dude's shoes. And, like, that's kind of awesome. Guys that would choose that kind of shoe, mm-hmm. I'm attracted to that kind of guy. It's that kind of attitude. Because it's not exactly about how you look. It's about how you present yourself.
I was going to say, yeah, because I look at not just details like that, but it's also overall how the person carries themselves and that confidence.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd say confidence without the overconfidence. You know, you don't want to be arrogant.
Exactly. But confidence without arrogance is the perfect way to put it.
But it is interesting, and that's kind of what usually catches my eye when you're in a crowd like that, is those people that have that confidence, but they're not super arrogant or anything.
Yeah, and it's really easy. It's really interesting, and I feel very sexist in saying this. But for me, it's easier for men to have that confidence without arrogance than it is mm-hmm. for women. And I'm not exactly sure I can qualify that as to why. But when I look at guys, especially, you know, popping on the train or whatever, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're attractive, you're confident, but you don't seem cocky. And right. women come on and sometimes you're like, look, you're confident, but you're a little too confident.
Do you think that makes them seem high maintenance?
Maybe. Actually, maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. Because I'm the high maintenance one in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need two high maintenance people in a relationship, so therefore.
So then, in your eyes, it would be hard for a woman to walk that line between confidence and high maintenance.
Yeah, that's a really... God, I sound fucking sexist. I hate that. I don't like that about me. But I can't help it.
We learned something new.
Yeah.
You can't do anything about it unless you know that it exists.
Yeah, fair enough. So how about your work life? Like, once you're at work, do you think about your sexuality at work?
In the office, I don't. Of course, there's always conversation around, well, what'd you do this weekend, blah, blah, blah. So I do try to walk a bit of a fine line when answering the what did you do this weekend, you know, and not give a lot of details or really...
Do you mean who did you do this weekend?
Yeah, so I try not to, especially if I know that someone is a little more conservative, I don't want to flaunt anything or throw it in their face or make them uncomfortable. But at the same time, I'm not going to hide who I am. So I might say, oh, I went to a club, blah, blah, blah. And if they ask what club or where, I'll give a few more details. But I'm not going to just be like, well, you know, we went out and met this couple you know, brought them home and whatever. I'm not going to do that.
These are the positions we went through.
Yeah. So it's that, you know, information without a lot of information, unless they're brave enough to dig and ask questions, then by all means, I will answer questions. But I don't otherwise really think about my sexuality unless I'm in front of a customer. And then you kind of ramp it up a little bit. And whether they're male or female does change how I play to them.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I would say in that way, yes. But in the office, no, not really. I don't.
I think that's interesting because, you know, it's... I don't know. I look at me, and again, I always think about... it is always weighing on me. My sexuality is always weighing on me, either in a less often positive way, but more often in a negative sort of like it's a weight that I bear kind of thing. Because the same thing, you know, it's like how to put this, like, so if I'm in front of a customer, then I want to come off as confident, strong. And if I show, especially with other men, if I show a less dominant side, which is my normal who I am, I am not a dominant guy, then that's a sign of weakness. And so the last thing I need to show is a sign of weakness. Not to say that my homosexuality side, or, you know, the male side of my bisexuality is weak, but at the same time, you can't say it's not, because in the real world, we all live in this heteronormative world in which, you know, men who show emotion or show a softer side are weak. Excuse me. So it's tough for me to really compartmentalize that and say, okay, you know, this is the thing I'm going to do. So what I end up doing is, you know, just putting on that mask of confident me and going out and showing that just confidence. Because I think that, you know, confidence is something that is gender neutral. You know, you have confident women, you have confident men. So whether I'm confident or not, I try to show a mask, the pretend me that is actually comfortable and confident in my situation. So it's, I don't know, it's, you know, it's frustrating. It's frustrating, but it's still at the same time, I sort of look at it as a necessary evil. And I often find, you know, when meeting with customers, you know, you end up treating men and male and female customers differently, which I know is, again, against everything that we sort of talked about. But let's be realistic. I am a not unattractive, young looking for my age male. So I sort of flirt, especially being a Southerner in amidst Australians, I very much flirt with the women in what I sort of deem as a non-aggressive way, because I have no interest in them. I'm most of the time I'm male centric. So female customers, they get flirted with, but it's, to me, I think it's clear, and I think to most of them it's clear that it's harmless flirtation. And I'm just about guaranteed that if you asked the vast majority of my customers who haven't actually heard me say your name or use a gender with you, would know that, would be confident that I'm gay.
Yeah. So what about within your office, within the company? What does it come up, not come up, but does it affect your life within the company?
It affects the way that I present myself. Mm-hmm. It always affects. I mean,
I guess how so?
So, you know, the vast majority of my company know that I'm bi. I, you know, I've come out to my best friend, and colleague at the office, and she knows everything. And then I came out to my boss, gosh, it's been 6-8 months ago now. You know, him sort of inadvertently, but still.
Yeah.
Advertently.
It was necessary at the time.
It felt necessary at the time.
Circumstances deemed it that it needed to happen.
And, you know, yeah. And both of them, she's been nothing but supportive. She's been, you know, next to you, she's probably one of the people that I tell everything in the world to. And, mm-hmm. You know, I would never belittle or try to smallen that relationship because of how important she is. But my boss took it so well. You know, he's a vanilla guy that, you know, was sort of unfortunate to him, thrust into a situation where he had to deal with my sexuality, which I don't think any boss wants to deal with that or should have to deal with that. But he doesn't care. He's like, fuck, as long as you make me money, that's all I care about.
Yeah.
And then when you look at the other colleagues that I work with, pretty sure most of them have some sort of inkling as to our lifestyle because we're such a small company. When people ask you, what did you do this weekend? You know, if you go, oh, we went out to a club. Which club?
Right.
And if you're from...
So they start asking the details.
Yeah, they want to know the details because there's not many of us. And mm-hmm. so we went out to a little club called Our Secret Spot. Oh, where's that? And it's on Crown Street. Oh, I've never been there. And I was like, it's two doors down from the Owl House. We'll have to check it out sometime. I don't think you're going to want to do that.
Yeah, I might want to look it up online first.
Yeah, check it out online first.
See if it's your scene.
You know, but...
If it is, awesome. We'll see you there.
Yeah, at the same time, it boils down to that thing that is one of my first... I'm going to say big issues with being bisexual is that, you know... It comes down to that when you're talking to colleagues and work friends and you're talking about previous relationships and you'll say, oh, I had a partner who, you know, we did that. You know, mm-hmm. you could talk about anything. It's like, have you ever had tikka masala? I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, you know, my first wife and I, we never did that, but I had a partner and I mm-hmm. who did. And number one, that's a really odd thing to say. But number two, to phrase it that way.
Yeah.
But number two, it's one of those things that it's hard not to use pronouns
right.
with previous partners.
It is interesting. I would say it's different as well for us here in Australia because in the States, partner was not really used a lot except when referring to a homosexual or same-sex mate.
Yeah. But in Australia, everybody uses the word by partner.
Yeah, a lot of people use partner when describing heterosexual relationships. So husband, wife, whatever. It is very often that person is referred to as your partner. And so it is hard here to deem what sex it is. And so me being more of the American mentality, when people say that, my first inkling is that their partner is the same sex, but then a lot of them I know might be married or whatever. And
right.
So then, it's like, oh, okay, no, it's not. But my first instinct is still that American mentality. And I always have to kind of fight it and think, wait, it may not be.
Yeah.
Because ultimately it doesn't matter. And I personally quite like the term because to me, a partner is someone more than that word. It holds a lot more weight to me than husband or wife does.
And I agree, and much more than boyfriend or girlfriend.
Yeah. Because to me, that makes it sound like there's so much more of a connection and a support system in that person than simply just a civil union of some sort. So I actually quite like the term partner, and I use it not all the time here, but I do use it more frequently now because it does hold that bit more of a weight that we have this extra connection type thing. And that's
and I find
system.
Myself using it all the time.
Yeah.
Like I think it's a wonderful statement, because it is that sort of all encompassing statement.
Yeah. It's not like they're just someone I go home to at the end of the day. Like they're with me in all parts of my life and I like that.
Is almost, I think, is better than husband and wife.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Partner. We do everything together. You are like, for me, a partner means.
We share everything.
Yeah, we share everything. I can't do something without you.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas husband or wife is sort of a, I don't know, it doesn't do it for me.
Yeah.
I call you my partner very often.
Yeah, yeah.
But I had a situation just this past week or the week before where I was talking to a customer. And, you know, the nature of my job is you do a little bit of work and then you wait for quite a while. And then you do a little bit of work and you wait for quite a while.
The sales cycle time is long.
Yeah. Well, no. I'm talking about like some of the stuff that we actually do in the lab.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
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 So this fella and I were working together on something, and we had started something, and we were waiting for it to finish. And so, you know, we're waiting 15 minutes for it to finish, so we're just talking. And he's asking me questions about moving from the States and blah, 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 blah. And I found myself, without even meaning to do it, talking about my first wife, and then later saying, oh, well, my last partner, he and I, blah, 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 blah. And I used a very gender-specific, and I think for the bisexuals out there who have sort of intermingled amongst the heteronormative folk, it's very common for us to use either non-sex specific words
like partner,
or gender neutral pronouns like they,
mm-hmm.
we kind of thing, and it's so easy to fall into that. And I wish I could not do that. I wish I could pull myself out of it. So I think consciously that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to say, look, you know, I'm married to a woman now, and I love you. But at the same time, that doesn't negate all my previous relationships.
Of course not.
Well, yeah. Fair enough. But I think that that's something that I don't think that's sort of the norm.
Hmm.
And I think especially amongst bisexuals is we often will neutralize the gender of our previous partners
right.
in order to either sate the people we're speaking to or sate society in general.
Right.
So, you know, if you're speaking to a bunch of your gay friends and your last partner was or your last relationship was a heterosexual relationship, you might not say she if for a man. You might say we.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa for the rest of the world. You know, it's like if you're in a normal, like, situation in which, like a work situation, where heteronormative is the norm, you'll say we instead of he
mm-hmm.
for your previous partner if you're a male.
Do you think that, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for, but do you think that I'm going to say minimizes that previous relationship a bit by making it a little more neutral?
I think it does. And I hate that. And that's one of the reasons I want to stop doing that is because that I think it does minimize the
relationship. Then it doesn't have as much importance, you feel
yes,
like.
Yes, because, you know, if it was important, the sex wouldn't matter.
Right.
You know, and it's something that until we, bisexuals, start sort of re-owning that
mm-hmm.
and using the either gender appropriative words, boyfriend, girlfriend, or those gender appropriate pronouns, we're not, it negates that. It's easy for the heteronormative world to exclude us.
Right.
Excuse me. We cannot bitch about bi erasure unless we're willing to not erase ourselves. And that's something that.
That's a fair point.
That's something that I really want to get across. That I think that's extremely important. We as bisexuals are always bitching about bi erasure, but until you sort of stop erasing yourself, you're not.
No.
You can't complain about that, and that's why now I'm trying to sort of flip it over in my brain, and it's difficult to do because normality, you know, heteronormality, and then my brain in general.
And you've been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, well,
it's habit.
So long. I've been doing it for 7 years.
That's just a pretty good habit-forming time, though.
I reckon, but yeah. I still don't think it's acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
But it's it's frustrating, and I'm trying to fix that about myself because I don't like that at all, really.
Okay, so then moving on from the workplace, What about going out casually, like to a bar, restaurant, things like that?
Do you mean like just the two of us or with friends and whatnot?
Ooh, good question. Let's say with friends. Friends, potential colleagues, you know, if you have after work drinks or if you just meet a bunch of friends out.
Oh, that's both.
I know, two different scenarios.
Well, you just come sort of two different, massively different things.
Yeah.
Potential colleagues, I am on my best behavior. I'm not even looking at women or men or anyone. I don't even look at myself in the mirror if I go out with colleagues. I want to be as far from sexualized as I can be, and that's hard for me.
Fair enough.
Because without fail, you always go out with colleagues, and it always happens at conferences where, you know, everybody sort of has that free pass at a conference, and you're like, holy shit, you're gorgeous. Male or female, doesn't matter. And you're with colleagues, so you can't really do anything about it.
Right.
So, or potential customers, even worse.
That's colleagues, worse, yeah.
My colleagues egg me on. Even my boss now is like, so do you think he's hot? So do you think he's hot? I mean, it's adorable, and I sort of want to smack him, but, you know, it's difficult.
Right.
But with friends, you know, it's still tough. For me, at least, when we go out with friends, I am much, much more comfortable to allow myself to be completely unedited me with females than I am with men. And again, it goes back to that sort of heteronormative mentality of I don't want to scare the boys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, straight. I'm using air quotes here. Nobody can see it, and I apologize for this generalization. But you know, straight boys are afraid of gay boys. That's just how it is. However you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You feel, if you disagree, I would love to hear your arguments against that. But we have been around enough straight males who get really funny when they think they're either being checked out or being hit on, or
it makes them uncomfortable.
It makes them really uncomfortable, which, as a side note, I am nearly certain is because they're afraid they're going to be treated the way they treat women, but whatever. You know, it is one of those things that when we go out with friends, if I'm in front of even male friends that we've played with before, male friends that I have a massive crush on, there's one of you out there. You probably might know who you are. I don't know. Anyway, you know, I still tend to tone myself down because I don't want to make them uncomfortable.
Right.
And I sort of hate that as well.
Well, and I will say as well, the difference is that many of the guys that we do play with, whether they're single guys or in a couple, most of them are not, they don't identify as bisexual and certainly not openly identify as such.
Right.
So you don't want to push them too far in a public setting.
Right.
And
of course.
So there is.
And don't get me wrong,
well.
I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be.
Right. But like, I think that's part of why you do kind of hold back a bit.
Absolutely. You know, and if we're in a couple situation where, especially if we're just going out as friends, and this isn't a date, you know, I'm still not going to be like, oh my God, that guy over there is attractive, I'm going to go hit on that guy.
Right.
Because I don't want to make the guy that we're with, mm-hmm. you know, the male section of that party, to be, I don't want to make him uncomfortable.
Right.
But at the same time, I really feel like if I was a woman, or if the person that I'm going to hit on was a woman, that it would be okay. It's acceptable. And that's one of the things that really bugs me about this.
I don't know, though. Would it really? Because if we were out with another couple having dinner, and it's not a date or anything like that.
But if we're friends and they know that we're open relationship.
Sure, but I still think it would be a bit rude to get up and leave the table to go hit on somebody. And.
But I'm not talking about getting up and leaving the table. I'm talking about a situation. This is the situation I'm talking about because this is what's fresh in my mind. So two guys get up and go to the bar to order a drink.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
The two ladies are staying back to talk or to whatever.
Because the men are getting them drinks?
Whatever, because they don't want to pay for their drinks.
Yeah.
you know, but any situation in which half the group splits,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think it matters, the gender of those two people, but, you know, half the group splits to go get drinks, the other half stays to man the table. You know, if we're being waited on by a attractive bartender, and if it's a guy, it's easier for me to hit on or to flirt with. Let's just put flirt with even out there. It's easier for me to flirt with the attractive female bartender than mm-hmm. it is for me to flirt with the attractive male bartender.
Okay.
And that has to do with the sex of the person that I've gone up to the bar with.
I was going
to
say, what if a female went up with you?
If it's a female, of course I'll do it. Absolutely. Okay. And typically it doesn't matter, male or female bartender. I'm going to flirt with them. But if it's a male that goes up with me, in order to make him more comfortable, right. I'm less likely to flirt with a male bartender. Which,
okay.
fucking, I hate that about me.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I realize that that's one of the things that I do.
Yeah.
Do you find any difference for you?
No, I really don't.
So you'll flirt with anyone?
Yeah. And I think it's just because if the situation is right for it, then yes. It doesn't matter to me if it's a male or female around or
right.
who I'm flirting. Because I see flirtation as harmless. And if someone's going to read more into it, it doesn't matter. They're going to no matter what the situation is. So if somebody approves or doesn't approve or they think it's funny or whatever, they're only going to see what they want to see out of it. And so it doesn't matter to me who it is that I'm flirting with or who's around.
Which is really interesting that you bring that up because I'll even do this with very close friends of ours.
Mm-hmm.
Friends that we've played with, friends who know I'm bi, who
yeah.
are completely accepting of it. I'll still sort of temper myself around the male side in order to prevent them from feeling uncomfortable.
Interesting. Okay.
You know, I'm not proud of that,
mm-hmm.
But it's very difficult to break oneself of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I never really have. And it's always been the same for me. And I honestly don't even think about it.
But I think that's one of the luxuries of being female.
Yeah. Maybe.
You have very precious few luxuries, being female. But you know, I think that's one of those is that
mm-hmm.
you can feel sexuality. Your sexual fluidity is completely expected, and accepted.
Yeah.
Whereas men, we don't have that luxury of sexual fluidity.
Mm-hmm.
No, we have a umpteen number luxuries other than that, but sexual fluidity is not one of those.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So how about your family? Do you find yourself
I do censor myself more around family. While they know, I also know that it's not hugely accepted and something that they're going to wholly embrace. And so I just try to not shove it in their face and just, yeah, if something comes up, I would say even more so than in a work setting, I keep it very general. My family generally doesn't ask questions.
Yeah.
It's one of those, if I don't provide details or information, they're not going to dig. And I know that. And so, you know, if we're talking about, hey, what went on, what's been going on, they might be like, oh, we went out, blah, blah, blah. But I don't even say where, I don't say with whom, or maybe we went out with some friends. they don't ask questions. And I'm not going to flaunt it and throw it in their face. So I do very much censor myself there. If the question comes up, if there's, you know, but I will give an honest answer, but it never really does. It's one of those, I don't want to see it, I'm not going to ask about it, then it doesn't exist for them. And I don't know if that's necessarily the right thing, but it, at the same time, it kind of, it keeps peace, and they're not, our families are far enough away that they're not daily parts of our lives. So I think that makes a huge difference as well.
I agree.
If they were close, and we had daily or, you know, couple times a week interactions with them, it would probably be very different. I would imagine anyway.
Would you want them to be more active, I guess, or more knowing or understanding?
Honestly, and this is going to sound terrible maybe, but for me, I don't think it matters. But I think it's also because we grew up not being close to family. And so our nuclear family, you know, sure, we were always there and whatever, but we were not close to our extended family. And so, you know, when moving away, it's not that, oh, I'm never going to talk to you again kind of thing. But at the same time, not having, I was never like that close that I feel like I need daily contact with them. And it was never ingrained in us that family is so important that you should have this daily contact. You know, if you check in once a week or every other week or whatever, that's fine.
Yeah.
And all they really want is that high level, are things going well? Are you happy? You know, is everything okay? Kind of, they want that assurance. But as far as specifics, like, you know, where did you go? What did you do this day? Whatever, who are you with? Blah, blah, blah. They don't. Honestly, I don't think they really care, and they don't ask. So, I don't know. I mean, it's tough because if they were, you know, more, if they lived closer or were more involved, then I would say that yes, I would want them to care more, or at least be maybe more okay with it. They don't. It doesn't really affect me.
Were you ever that close to your family, though, like, historically at all?
Not really. I would say not really. Yeah.
Yeah. And I look at me, so, like...
But I think my situation is different than many people's, because most of our friends are very close to their families.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's just not something I really ever had.
Yeah, so I look at it, like... Growing up, I was always really close to my mother, but not my father.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dad was working, but my mom was sort of my my support. And so I look at that and I'm like, oh, yeah, I would love her. You know, as a high schooler and early university, we talked about everything. And it was great because we would talk about everything. And she was very supportive when I came out to her. But what I think... And I don't want to take anything away from her supportiveness from when I came out to her. But I honestly think it was a huge relief when I married a woman.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. You know, she doesn't have to deal with it. It's not... I'm supportive of you.
But it's not in her face every day.
But it's not in my face every day, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's one of those things that I would love to say that I think my mom is completely supportive of my life choices and blah, 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 blah. But I honestly don't think that it is. I think it would be if all I did was have this heterosexual lifestyle. I can be bisexual as long as I'm only sleeping with women kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Or she doesn't know about the men, but it's not part of her active world.
Exactly. But what she wants is this kind of relationship where it's, you know, we have the relationship that we used to have when I was young, where mm-hmm. I tell her everything, and also where I am 100% heteronormative, that kind of thing. I think that's what she really wants.
So she wants that relationship, but she doesn't necessarily actually want the details of that.
Exactly. And it's been a rough last week or so, in which we've had conversations where it's come out, you know, that's what she wants.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't give that to her.
Right.
And it's really upsetting. And it's very kind of, it's frustrating as hell. To have this kind of one-sided conversation where I'm like, look, you know, this is this is who I am. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, you've changed. I'm like, no, I haven't changed. I mean, maybe I have. I'm presenting myself differently. Yeah. Absolutely.
Because you're not hiding it anymore.
Yeah. And that's the question. If you suddenly don't hide your true self from the world, have you changed or have you just sort of opened up and shed the shield of normalcy? And that's the thing that we sort of, that's the position that I find myself in now. And it's extremely frustrating.
And I will say too, that for both of us, because our families are further away, although you talk to your family more than I talk to mine, but we also, I would say much of our lives revolves around our sexuality.
Oh, absolutely.
And so when we talk to them and they ask what's been going on, most of it revolves around our sexuality. And so without being able to talk about that, there's very little else. Yes. You know, there's holidays or trips or work or whatever, but all of our friends, most of our friends anyway, we've met through the lifestyle we do things with, and it's just, you know, that is a big, big part of our lives. Or we go out on dates and meet people. So again, if we're talking about that, it's in a very general form to them because they just don't want the details.
And that's a perfect, I think you hit the nail on the head there, is that our main hobby is bisexuality, sex-related kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, we have our work jobs, we have the podcast, we have Sex Ed in the City.
Yeah.
Those are sort of that's basically everything in our lives, you know.
That's a lot of our time right there.
We enjoy food and wine, but we tend to share that with either play partners or business partners. You know, it's like the number of times we've had Lawrence and Jess from Our Secret Spot over to our apartment, just not to play, but just they're our social friends. Yeah. We really like them as friends. You know, you look at Miss Jiff and her partner, you know, we get together and we discuss things, and these aren't play dates. These are, you know, social occasions where the people that we're spending our time with are, you know, in the lifestyle. And it's very frustrating. It's very difficult to sort of navigate that, especially with parents.
And I often wonder how it would be different. Obviously, if we had kids, it would be different because that takes up a lot of whatever. But also, if those were not our hobbies, and, you know, say we just would get, you know, see couples or other people from time to time, go to the club once in a while, but that wasn't what we do with most of our out-of-work time, you know, what would the relationships be different with the families? Would they want more details? Or is it just that we're far enough away that it just doesn't really matter? Yeah. I don't know.
You know,
I can't answer that.
It's frustrating because I find myself, you know, my mom asks me, you know, what's new, what's going on? And the things I tell her, I truncate them. I narrow them down like this. I told her, I'm really excited. You know, we are really excited because we're presenting to a group at ACON, which, you know, for us, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And that's such an exciting opportunity to be able to do. And the response I got back was basically, I'm glad you're excited. Not I'm excited for you, but I'm happy for your excitement, which, you know, that's fine. If that's not your thing, don't fucking ask me, you know, what's new. Don't ask me that. It's really frustrating, and it hurts in a really, you know, because I think all of us, whether we admit it or not, I'm looking at you, want to be accepted by our parents. You know, we want to know that they were our first social group that we were introduced to. You know, they're the group that sort of we were raised in, and whether or not you admit it to yourself, I think that you really want to be accepted by your initial social group. We then choose our friends, and we those friends are chosen. You know, so it's a social group that should accept you. And I say that, you know, expanding a little more on it because I have the time. You have your parents, then you have your initial schoolmates, you have high schoolmates, college schoolmates, and then workmates, life mates. Mm-hmm. And of those five groups, you know, the parents are the ones that you have absolutely no choice over. You cannot control that at all. The primary school, high school, college, high school, primary school and high school, you have a little more control over it, but you still would like to be accepted by those people. University, of course, then you have a much more freedom. Work, again, a little more freedom. And then your normal social group. Those are the ones that should accept you no matter what. And I feel like for us, our social group that we've chosen do. There's no – you don't get into our group unless you accept us for who we are.
And that is our – we always call that group here our Australian family.
Yes.
Because we don't have family here, and it's who we spend all of our time with. It's who we socialize with. They do know everything that goes on, and we don't have to filter ourselves, which is – and like you said, we're accepted by them, and that's why we chose them as friends. But that, to me – that feels like my family.
But every social group...
But it's our Australia family.
Every social group that I've listed, I think that ultimately, as humans, we want to be accepted by each of us.
Fair enough, yeah.
We want to be included or feel inclusive of. And it's frustrating, especially with parents who I feel, personally, should be a group that no matter what you do, you should still feel inclusive.
And, and like you said before, you know, I may not understand it, but that doesn't mean I can't accept
exactly.
it. But that's a hard thing to accept. That mentality is hard to accept. Because you want to understand, but everybody wants to understand, and they want to get it. And but at the same time, some things are so far out of your realm of possibility that you're just not going to.
I guess.
But you have to accept that it's important to this person, and it's like fetishes. We may not get everyone's fetish, but you have to accept that it's what turns them on, and that's fine, you know.
And this goes back to, this is the perfect example of, we are the type of people that won't have children, but should have children. You know, it's like these people who can't accept their children for anything, but, ugh. Okay, so one other thing I want to talk about is sort of this, a recent change that I've seen. So I'm taking the conversation. I'm twisting it towards what I want to talk about.
I'm curious to see where this is going.
I know, right? So one thing I've seen recently on RHP, at least, is when we first joined RHP 3 years ago, the number of couples in which the male was listed, and I'm going to say singles as well, whereas the male was listed as bisexual, was. And I would love to see their numbers, because I'm sure they actually have those stats. But I would say it's less than 5%. I actually might say it's less than 2%, but it was in a very low number. So 5%, so 5 in 100. Yeah, I would have said 2 in 100. So let's say 2%. And then once you have couples, you know, especially, it's still very low, less than, you know, 7, 10%. In the very recent past, and when I say that, I mean in the last 3 to 6 months, I'm starting to notice a lot more couples in which the men, and I guess I should have prefaced this with, on many dating websites, whether you're male, female, or male-female couple, you're allowed to define your sexuality as straight, bi-curious, bisexual, or experimental. Occasionally you'll have not sure as well, which
then not, shouldn't that fall into experimental?
You would think so, but
or curious or
so my issue is experimental and not sure are
they're catch-all groups.
They're catch-all groups. They're I don't want to say what I really am, or I have no idea what I really am. Both of those I have a massive problem with. There's a whole podcast along that, and I'm not going to dive into it. You know, and we've played with many couples, some we've played many times with and care a lot about, who the fellows were listed as not sure or experimental. But now I'm starting to see this huge influx of couples that are either bisexual or bicurious. And I fucking love that. And it's one of those things that, look, if you aren't sure, legitimately aren't sure, then absolutely put not sure. But I want to sort of know what that means.
How is that different than just curious?
Yeah. How is that different than curious? If you don't know what you like, especially people in couples.
Yeah.
Especially male, female that's in a couple. If you're not sure, I feel like you should at least be bi-curious because mm-hmm. you're at least straight because you're married to a woman.
If you're a guy, yeah.
Well, if I guess you're
doing it from guy's perspective.
I'm doing it from the guy's perspective. Right. Sorry. So if you're a guy and you're married to a woman, you're at least straight. So you can't be. I think not sure is unacceptable. You could be bi-curious. I'm curious about mm-hmm. what another man might be like. I'm heterosexual mostly, but I'm curious. Experimental to me is. It goes back to the all I think about it with every time I hear experimental, I think of drugs.
And when I think of experimental in a dating website type thing, I think of kinks.
Hmm. That's a very good point.
I think of kink. I don't think of male-female sexuality.
Yeah. And so I've been so excited recently to see this influx of bisexual and bi-curious. And I think in the last 2 weeks alone, we've gotten messages mm-hmm. from people in RHP, no less than 5 different couples, a couple of singles mm-hmm. that have messaged us and been all excited to find, oh, you're a bisexual couple yeah. and you guys sound great. And I'm like, well, we are fucking great. But, you know, of course I go to their profile and see, oh, look, they're listed as bisexual. Right. That's exciting.
Because it is one of those things. And we've said it from the beginning, you know, doing this, that a lot of guys and couples would put themselves down as straight because when they tried to say bi-curious or bisexual, they did not get as many hits. You know, they wouldn't get the traffic or yes. you know, get messages or people wouldn't be interested in them.
They're ostracized.
Right, because of that. But at the same time, you know, then you get messages from people like that and it's, they have straight. So my first inkling is, oh, well, that's not going to be as fun for us.
Yeah.
But then when you actually talk to them and you find out that they are, then it's kind of like, well, why don't you just put that on your profile? Because I would not approach you because you have straight on there. But I understand not getting the traffic and whatever. But at the same time, you're not going to increase that awareness and that acceptance if you don't put it out there.
Yeah.
And so if you continue to hide behind that, it's not going to get better.
I agree. And there are plenty of guys out there who would be more than happy to really receive a blowjob from a guy, but God forbid they put anything other than straight on their their profile. And it's frustrating because there is nothing shameful about being bisexual or bi-curious. But by not sort of owning up to that, by not embracing that, you're part of that bi erasure. You're part of that. I don't want to identify as that. You know, and we've got plenty of couples that we play with where the guys are straight.
Yeah.
I don't even touch the guys. I'm not interested in the guys because the woman's there because I'm fucking bisexual.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and that's one of my, oh God, that's a big problem that I have. you know, and I've called out people before on it. And I think in the recent past, I've gotten a little lax on it. But I'm sort of going back to that. I'm like, look, just because you have a bisexual experience doesn't fucking change who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You're not different. You're mm-hmm. the same person. And if you, no matter how you label yourself, that's fine. But if you enjoyed the bisexual experience in the past and you wouldn't be against having a same-sex experience in the future, don't list yourself as experimental. Don't list yourself as not sure. Bisexuality comes on a wide range.
There's a lot of gray in there.
There's a lot of gray in there.
Yeah.
You know, it's... And I'm now starting to look at it as... Think about cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I say cartoon to you...
The fly is
or bad. Animated series. If I say animated series, you can think of Archer and Rick and Morty.
Mm-hmm.
You can think of Simpsons, Family Guy, South Park, or you can think of Bugs Bunny
mm-hmm.
and some other sort of children's show. I mean, there's a wide variety of it. And to lock yourself into one of those is doing a disservice to both the genre and to yourself. And I think that's really important for men especially to hear
mm-hmm.
Because they're... You know, we are sort of locked into what society tells us to be, and we're it's easy to become cowardly when it comes to your sexuality, and I think we should, it's time we, for lack of a better term, man up, and say, hey, look, I'm bisexual, I'm not into it all the time, but I'm an opportunistic bisexual. And I don't see anything wrong with that.
And where you are on that scale changes from day to day, week to week, whatever. It's not always, it doesn't mean the same thing every day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that's the other thing. It's like, everybody's like, oh, once I name myself, you know, bisexual, that means I always have to fuck men. Like, that's dumb. It's, I don't know. We could rant and rave for a while on this one.
Should we put it to rest?
We should put it to rest.
Okay.
Let's stick a fork in it. It's done. So, yeah, that's sort of us and sort of how we deal with our own bisexuality on a day-to-day basis.
And it's different for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is just, you know, our experiences. But because it is such a wide range and everyone's life is different, it will affect everyone differently. But it's just reaching that point where you're comfortable with it and you accept it, whatever role it plays in your life. You know, if you don't, you shouldn't feel bad or embarrassed about who you are. So it's just kind of figuring out, how does this fit in my life? Am I okay with it? If not, what needs to happen so I can be? And getting to that point where you're happy with it.
Yeah.
And accepting of yourself more than anything.
I think that's the biggest thing, is learn to be accepting of yourself. And that's coming from somebody who still has trouble being accepting of himself.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard for me, but it's do the best that you can, and each day try to give yourself a little more of a break. Yeah.
Well said.
Thanks. I get a couple. We had this, when we posted about this, we had a young man on Facebook just make the statement, I found that societal expectations often pressure couples into a more traditional structure. As a bisexual male, people often try to categorize me as gay. The truth is, I enjoy both. It's hard for people to understand that. And I think
it's a fair point. Yeah.
That's a great way to sort of close this, is that, you know, it's you don't know somebody's history.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they're in a monogamous, hetero, or homosexual relationship does not mean that they're heterosexual or homosexual. And I think it's something that you and I struggle with, and we sort of touched on this when we talk about past relationships,
yeah.
is that just because somebody doesn't see or know your past, they automatically assume that the relationship that you're in is the sexuality that you are.
Yeah, you mentioned there as well, monogamous. So you don't have to be in an open relationship to be bisexual.
No, God, no.
We know a lot of people who do identify as bisexual who are in monogamous relationships.
Yes.
They can still be attracted to or find the same sex, if they're in a heterosexual relationship, the same sex attractive, but they don't act on it necessarily. And the same thing happens with homosexual relationships. We've got a few friends who are, you know, in homosexual relationships who find the opposite sex attractive sometimes. But they don't act on it. So just because you consider yourself bisexual does not mean that you have to be in an open relationship.
Well, our own Blue Steel is in a homosexual monogamous relationship. They are their own partners. But, you know,
if you ask him, he'll say he's bisexual.
He's bisexual. Yeah. He's happy to identify as bisexual, but he's in a homosexual relationship.
Right.
And I think that's great. You know, and that's sort of what's great about the whole sexuality spectrum, is that you can be, you're more than just the relationship that you're in. And I think that's sort of part of it. And I think that's, for me as a bisexual, that's what I want to understand. I want people to understand, is that I'm greater than the sum of my current parts.
Right.
So, yeah. Cool. All right.
Awesome.
So, number one, thank you for the message on Facebook. We loved it. If you want to contact us on Facebook, we're trying to build our Facebook empire.
A little more with it.
Trying to work on our empire. We are www.facebook.com/bythebypodcast. On the Twitterverse, which is where our empire is growing leaps and bounds, we are at By the By Podcast. You can find us on the interwebs, www.bythebyb.com.au. Thank you. I kept wanting to add podcast, but my brain was like, no. It's www.bythebyb.com.au.
Yes.
Or you can email us at theatomsoflove@gmail.com. We always love to hear from our listeners. We've gotten some great feedback in the very recent past of, yeah, keep going. We love what you're saying. And please take your shirt off, which I still don't know what that means, but I'll give it a go. Yeah, but we absolutely love it. So thank you guys. And yeah, so we'll catch you in next week.
Yes, thanks for listening.
All right, bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.